We're talking cows and politics and government. Michelle Raywinkle-Vassalinda will be with us in the second hour talking about resiliency and our form of government, right along with Bill Wulcifer, similar topic of late. And I've got Nick and Elam Stoltzfus in the first hour talking about this new documentary entitled The Great Florida Cattle Drive. Miriam Dady will have another guest in the business spotlight, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So what happens, my friend, we have the debut of this remarkable documentary happening later this afternoon. If you want to check it out, it's at 2 o'clock over there at Mission San Luis. I've got Nick and Elam Stoltzfus, who are the producers of this show. They are creators and writers and videographers and producers. They have crafted this amazing documentary in cooperation with so many very talented folks. We'll talk with them here in the first hour. Some of those people, including Grammy Award-winning John McEwen, who has a presence in the film's soundtrack. You'll remember him from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, right? A cowboy poet, narrator for this documentary, Baxter Black. Fantastic. One of our local favorites, who many of you know because of the Jerry Thigpen trio, Pete Winter is responsible for the audio production of this documentary, The Great Florida Cattle Drive. Fantastic. We're going to learn all about the inspiration for this work and where it's happening. I mentioned the 2 o'clock showing at Mission San Luis. It will air statewide and maybe beyond on WFSU this coming Thursday evening at 9 o'clock. So lots of news there for you. And I've got Michelle Raywinkle-Vassalinda talking with me about resiliency in governing and governance and the work of our legislature and our judiciary and our executive branch of government, how the checks and balances are at play whenever we find ourselves working through a matter of issue for the nation, or even here for the state of Florida. And of course, with her background, it's always, I think, a good idea to consult with somebody who's been on the inside and who's been around government for as many years as she has. So we'll talk with her in the second hour of the broadcast. Bill Wulcifer is going to be with me. On a similar note, I asked Bill with his experiences, having run for office as a libertarian candidate, his longtime contributions as an attorney, his perspective on how it is that our government, particularly at a national level, is working through this painful process of trying to determine whether or not the actions of our president are in fact legal, are they constitutional, how is it that the court has a role to play in that? And what about a legislative action that might be afoot in relation to things like immigration? It's an ongoing conversation, of course, for all of us, but I think a healthy topic for us to engage directly and at the same time consider where the lines are drawn. When is it okay for us to consider topics that might be controversial? When is it okay for us to hear from people with whom we disagree? especially if they're inflammatory, you know, people who want to advocate for something that we might find objectionable. So that's a conversation that we'll have going forward in today's show. I want to bring you some other news going on around town. The Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra has a special performance going on, Requiem of Defiance, and this happens on March 25th. They'll be at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, and tickets are available there. But this has to do with a recognition of how it is that during World War II, the Nazi concentration camp at Terezin was, in fact, responsible for an incredible act of resistance that went on among Jewish prisoners. So it happens that the Requiem Mass by Verdi was performed. And for those who participated in those performances that occurred between 1943 and 44, the last of which was for the International Red Cross when it came to examine the camp, that work, those performances, stood as a symbol of defiance towards the Nazis. So what's happening here is that Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra is sort of restaging that performance. They are going to be presenting this Requiem of Defiance, which is subtitled A Community Event to Remind Us of Our Humanity and Our Connectedness. So in keeping with this question about resilience and how it is that communities remain resilient, or how nations are able to endure crises, here we have an example of that in this work and this performance being provided by the good folks at TSO, Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra. Again, the performance date is March 25th, 8 p.m., Ruby Diamond. Let's see, what else have I got for you real quickly here? County and city commissioners are planning an event, and they're inviting you to attend the Village Squares Speed Date with your local leaders. Yeah. So you know about the Village Square. It's a nonprofit organization that it encourages conversation and discussion across a lot of different topics and certainly across a lot of different points of view. Well, they're going to be hosting this event, which happens on the 23rd from 5:30 to 7:30 at St. John's Episcopal Church. That's downtown there on North Monroe. So the event titled Speed Date Your Local Leaders, and all the county and city commissioners have been invited to be there. The event itself enables commissioners and you and I to visit with one another and hear directly from each other about concerns and issues that are affecting all of us. So that's a good thing, right? Conversation. That's what we're about here. We believe that the more we converse, the more we talk about ideas and opinions, the more we connect, the better off we are. Okay, well, so in keeping with that, we have to say that there are other activities going on that you can find a similar kind of conversation. You find a similar kind of discussion, whether it's how a neighborhood is being organized or if it's about how resources are being applied, let's say public dollars. It happened recently with the Myers Park development question, and you had those folks organize and begin to ask for those in leadership to reconsider the idea of expanding the development of a portion of that neighborhood. Well, in fact, they were heard, and for the moment, anyway, they have won their point, because it seems as though the idea of that development has been withdrawn, at least for now. But I want you to pay attention when we talk with Michelle today. I want to ask her about that. You know, how do we best arrive at a solution that is best for all of us? I'd be interested to get her perspective on that. Let me remind you that we are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment here, coming to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com in Tallahassee. You can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. Anytime you'd like to hear one of the shows from our history, you can do so. They're all archived there for you. You can subscribe to the podcast as well. Stay with me. I've got Miriam Dady standing by with another guest in the Business Spotlight.
Truckin' Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truckin' Hard Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond plate, parts to fix your tailgate. Truckin' Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truckin' Hard Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truckin' Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truckin' Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, this is Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a guest back with me this year to really just appeal to your artistic side. I have Philip Croton to talk about Irish Repertory Theater right here in Tallahassee. Philip, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me again, Miriam. It's lovely to be here.
Now, you know I have a soft spot for Irish Rep.
We have trod those boards together.
We have. And now you are back with more. Tell me what's coming up on the horizon. This very coming weekend. Tell
Absolutely
me what it is.
Right. It's coming up this very weekend. It's a lovely play called Sea Marks, which the Irish Repertory Theatre Company has put up. It's a two-person play, and it's a beautiful love story, really. It's between an Irishman who's just a fisherman. He lives out on the islands off the west coast of Ireland, and is just concerned with fishing. That is his life, and the sea, and surviving, basically. And then one day he sees a girl who's visiting for a wedding of one of the cousins. And he starts to write to her. And she's so touched by his letter that she writes back.
Oh.
And over the next 2 years, rather than like sort of the modern day internet dating, this is actually back in the 70s, so there was no internet. They communicate through letters. And his poetry and his sense of joy at life comes through to her. And she becomes very keen to see him again. And lo and behold, there's another wedding 2 years later that she goes back to. And that they pluck up courage and speak to each other. And it's the story of that relationship from then on. He goes to visit her and stay with her in Liverpool. And it's basically a fish out of water, literally. So it's how that relationship develops and what it can be in the future that the play is all about. But
it sounds like love letters.
It's very similar, yeah. Charing Cross Road, similar sort of themes of starting things through letters, and then what happens when people meet and their expectations, are they fulfilled or not, and how much they grow in love even more than they did through just the spoken word or the written word in this case. So it's a touching story, and it touches everybody. I think every relationship where perhaps you try to change other people as well. She wants him to. She publishes his letters, and he becomes a minor celebrity as the Irish poet, which is not his lifestyle at all. So it's a fascinating play, and I'm very lucky to have two very talented actors to perform it. One of them is actually a theatre critic here in Tallahassee. I'm sure most people will know Neil Coker for his work for the Tallahassee Democrat. And he's donning the Irish brogue again for us and playing Colm, who's the fisherman, and his real life partner, and also a fabulous actress, or actor, I should say these days, of course. Christy Izaquero is playing Timothea, and apologies, Christy, for my pronunciation of your surname. But anyway, they're both very talented, and they've been working very hard on this lovely piece, and if you can come and see it, it starts this very weekend, as you say.
Wonderful. It sounds romantic.
It is.
And they already have sparks, so...
Exactly. And as you know, when you have actors that have a relationship, it just comes across the footlights, you know, and you can see that there is a spark there, and that there is a passion there, and that It makes directing, of course, so much easier when you don't have to sort of try and build it up in the rehearsal process, because that's already there. You know, it's wonderful.
Now, do they speak their letters? Do they read their letters?
They do, yeah. Okay. And it changes over. So it's not one person reading their own letters or the other person reading the letters. It goes back and forth as they're writing them and as they're getting them. But that the letters is perhaps only the first scene of it goes through. And then there's a second wedding that she comes to visit him from. So then it's more a conversational and straight play, if you like.
They have to actually be in one another's presence.
Absolutely, absolutely. Exactly right, yeah. The split stage becomes one, basically.
Okay, let's nail down the dates for me.
Sure. So it starts this Thursday, the 23rd of February, and it's on also the Friday the 24th, Saturday the 25th, and Sunday the 26th. And then the following weekend, it's only on the Saturday, which is the 4th of March, and then the Sunday the 5th. So both matinees are at 2 o'clock, and the evening performances are both at all three of them, yeah, are at 8 o'clock. Okay. We're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the Sunday this weekend, and only two dates the following weekend. So we're really grateful to you to get this publicity out early so that people can come. Normally we count on word of mouth, because our production is normally, once people have seen it, realise how good it is and tell their friends and neighbours, and the second week is usually sold out. This one we need to get people in early, because we have to have four early dates and then only two. This is because the Theatre Tallahassee has a gala, of which Christy is very much involved in, on the Friday of our second weekend. So we're not performing that Friday as we normally would. So it's four dates at this coming weekend and then two the following.
And where do people buy their tickets?
You can buy tickets at TallahasseeIrishRep.com, or you can call 850-339-4659.
Well, we want to get people there because we're all about romance right now. We've just gotten over Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
And people need, I think people need to start writing letters again.
It's lovely. And part of the process of helping them through rehearsals has been writing these letters. And it is lovely to write a letter again. I actually bought myself a fountain pen and got some old writing paper. And it was wonderful. It's a lovely thing to do again. I really enjoyed working on that. Yeah.
You know, with the internet, of course, people say what's ever on their mind, which isn't always a good idea.
That's right.
And if you have a pen and a pad of paper, you have to be a little more thoughtful.
I think that's true. Yeah, it is. And you sit in front of you and you're creating it as well as just tapping it and typing it. There is something special about writing letters. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for the play. I look forward to it. I hope everybody is listening and wants to take their sweetheart, because the flowers are going to be wilted by the 23rd of February, and you need to keep the flame alive.
Absolutely.
It's appropriate for everybody.
It is, and it's only $15, so it's almost a giveaway, really. You know,
this is a date night. So.
And of course, being Irish repertory, we make sure there's plenty of draft Guinness and Jameson on hand, should that be required.
Thank goodness, because we've got to feel a part of the Irish experience.
Absolutely. Got to enjoy the crack, indeed.
Philip, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me come here. Thank you.
And thank you, Tallahassee. I love doing this for you, and I want to look for you at the theater this coming week. See me there. This is Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
A documentary celebrating Florida's heritage as a cattle state is set to premiere in Tallahassee. And it's actually in the midst of that debut as we speak here, my friend, because it happens that this particular documentary entitled The Great Florida Cattle Drive, Unbroken Circles is the subtext there, is being shown this afternoon. Now for the third time since earlier in the week at Mission San Luis. So as you're listening to me talk about this with you, that's the first thing you need to take note of. If you want to go see a debut of this documentary, 2 o'clock this afternoon at Mission San Luis. I have that on good authority because I have with me the filmmakers, the men who have conceived of and created this amazing documentary here this morning. Elam Stoltzfus and his son Nick Stoltzfus. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing just great. It's a real honor to be here, Brian.
You have a lot to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Had a great team, a lot of great people to work with, and excited. It's going to be out on PBS next week.
That is remarkable. So WFSU is showing this documentary this coming Thursday at 9?
Yes, at 9 p.m. And as well as WFSU, all the public television stations across the state of Florida have picked it up as well.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, folks, take a breath with me. We've gotten to the point where we are bristling with questions. And, of course, the first would be, logically, where did this idea come from?
Where this idea came from?
You know, that's what I asked you.
Yes, sir. I just want to repeat it. I'm assuming you're going to edit this, but maybe not. Okay.
I asked you first.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Okay.
So the idea came from...
You know, I've been doing these documentaries about stories in Florida for well over 20 years.
A long time, yep.
And I had a friend that was on the cattle drive in 1995. Ah. And almost every time I'd see him, he'd make reference to about something that happened on this cattle drive or somebody he met or something he learned or an experience. And it's like, it was such a part of his life and his memory. And I thought, man, that is really cool. I would love to see this. And then I heard about that they had another one in 2006. I wasn't able to go to that one. But then last year, another friend told me, said, hey, they're fixing to have one in 2016, and they're looking for a filmmaker. You ought to contact them. And so we did. Nick and I contacted Doyle Connor Jr., and then they invited us to come to their monthly meetings. And, yeah. It just went forward from there. It's like it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, it all clicked. It all clicked.
To do this story.
Doyle Connor Jr. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting character. What did you learn? Did you know him prior to this?
I did not. I knew his dad, but I did not know him.
Yeah.
And what a great friend and what a character.
Yeah, and in and of itself, the Connor family has contributed sizably to the welfare of the state of Florida. I think that could be easily said. Nick, you go to this first of these meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you thinking? Are you skeptical? Were you excited? Or yes? Or both? Or
I'd maybe say a little bit of both. You know, I mean, I'm of the persuasion as a Floridian that I go around with flip-flops and think of the beach. You know, I'm wear shorts all year round. That's that's the kind of Floridian I am.
There you
so
go.
Here I'm in a meeting with a bunch of people wearing cowboy hats, and you know, everybody slows everything down. You're not in a hurry. And so it's a different way of approaching life, and it's right here in our own state. And so it was interesting to become a part of this culture for a little bit and get a taste of it when we worked on the documentary.
Interesting that you point to that when you talk about how Florida is experienced and perceived.
Mm-hmm.
We think about cattle drives happening in Texas and Oklahoma and places like that. In Florida?
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably what? You're trying to figure out, wait a minute, how does this work and why? Why are we still playing with cows here in Florida?
Right. And that's, you know, I think the whole cattle drive experience, it reminds me a lot of City Slickers. You know, we're the City Slickers from Tallahassee area going out into Florida heartland to experience this. But yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing because Florida, as many people as we have here, which is upwards of 20 million now, we're the third largest state after California and New York. But even despite of that, there's still a lot of open land out there to have a cattle drive, but it's just one of those unknown histories in our state.
And where, and I mean, where does the cattle drive actually happen then? Because with 20 million people, you got to make sure we don't get in the way of the cows, right?
Oh, it's downtown Miami.
No.
I was waiting for that. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
It's happened south of St. Cloud.
Okay.
You know, when you go to the turnpike,
yeah.
You go out through what some people call nothing. Well, there's a lot there.
There's a lot of something. Yeah.
Right. It we started there and went south to Keenansville. That's that small little town north of Yeehaw Junction.
Wow.
And it's about 45, 50 miles. And we went through private ranches and some of the WMA lands from Florida Forestry. And
so this is another Florida that we really don't know much about, is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that we did is I rode a horse the entire 45 miles. Now, where I'm different from Nick is I grew up with horses and have been away from her 30 years. So getting back on a horse was really, really kind of connecting the unbroken circle, going all the way around.
Okay, so is that the subtitle here, Unbroken Circles?
In many levels, personal for both of us, but also from the people, from the cattle, from a historical perspective, many different levels, it has the unbroken circle. Keep it going and keep it going.
Wow.
And things happen. And earlier we were talking about relationships and friendships and sponsors and support. And it takes all that. And that was one of the takeaways and things that is really unique about this project. Mm. The friends and the camaraderie and the support we got and continue to get for this story has been like nothing else I've ever done.
Mm.
And I don't take that for granted. I cherish these relationships and friendships, and that makes it really special.
And for Florida, the history that you're tapping into is monumental because as I've begun to realize, the cattle industry significant to Florida's economy, and even the dairy industry, which is not the same as cattle, right? But allied with that is this idea that we do have a lot of land, and cows need a lot of land. Grass particularly is helpful. So here's Florida with having that kind of contribution, we'll say, to the nation. And you guys come in celebration of that history, right? At the same time, that it's a very contemporary thing. It's still going on. So are the cattle drive itself, was it functional in that way that in fact we need to get these cows from here to there? Or is it really more just the experience of what it's like to do so?
It was the experience of it.
Yeah.
What happened was in 1995, that was the first celebration of a current modern cattle drive.
Yeah.
And that was where a number of the ranchers got together and said, you know, let's do a cattle drive like they used to, kind of like Lansbury.
Reenact that kind of
Smith.
Thing. Okay.
And yeah, in honor of our heritage and let's have some fun. So here again, it was managed by Doyle Connor Jr. And he said, we got to make this big so we get put on the map. So they had almost 1,000 head of cattle And most of them were ranchers, but there were some people that went along and wanted to experience that 1 week of a cattle drive.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So after it was done, you know, they got publicity around the world of this, and it was a big deal.
Huh.
People said, hey, I want to see this. I want to go on it, too. Well, it's like 2 years of work to put one of these on, all volunteers, so you can't do it every year. So they said, okay, we'll do it in 10 years. So fast forward to 2006. That's when they had the next one. A little bit smaller, but they had more people that wanted to come and be a part of it.
I see.
And had a great experience, again, the central part of the state. So the same thing happened. More people said, we want to be a part of this too. Let's do it again. Do it again. So the committee said, okay, we'll do another one. So now you're at 2016.
Wow.
So we had this one, and guess what? The same thing is happening. But 2021, we talked about the history. Well, in 1521 is when Ponce de Leon brought some of the first cattle to the state of Florida, and horses, and pigs, and sheep, and what else. So we are already working towards 2021.
Look at that.
So this project is also helping to lay the groundwork, the foundation for 2021.
For that future.
Mm-hmm. We want to make history in a very unique way.
Well, it seems to me that you've done so, and you've done it in a way that has now made it possible for all of us to participate in this thing vicariously. a fantastic documentary, folks, highlighting the heritage of Florida cowboys and celebrating Florida's heritage as a cattle state. The documentary entitled The Great Florida Cattle Drive, Unbroken Circles, with original music score by Robert Hodling. I got that right, okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that Pete Winter is involved in the audio production. We're going to talk more with these guys. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Nick Stoltzfus and his companion, this guy that tags along because he's just looking for something to do. No, I'm teasing. Now, you were on horseback the whole time?
Oh, I'm going to have to make a confession. I was in a wagon.
You were in the wagon. Okay. Yes. Well, I'll fully transparent here.
Yep.
But nonetheless, you're bringing to us in this perspective not only a slice of history, but your own personal experience.
Right. And that's kind of on multiple levels. One of the things that happened for me is I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, of course, so we had horses. You know, my parents were Amish when I was young, so horses, buggies, cows, that was our way of life. But I've been away from that for 30, almost 40 years. And to get around that, getting on horses again, this happened several years ago, I started getting around horses again, and that's kind of a story of itself. But the other part I enjoyed, too, is you're talking about the character and the kind of people that cowboys or ranchers or cow hunters is the term that we use here in Florida, not cowboys, cow hunters. And we can talk about that. So they all help each other. They work together. It's a community spirit. It's a family spirit. And that was just wonderful. That's what I grew up with.
I see.
You know, where everybody helped each other. You know, the barn burned down, community. We rebuilt it. Yeah. So just in a small way, the week on the cattle drive, if somebody fell down, there were people there to help.
Yeah.
If your horse wasn't fed, they fed it for you. You needed help, everybody worked together. And so there wasn't a lot of fuss. It was, you know, we need to go from here, from this point A to this point, point B today, and here's what's going to happen. And you have 500 people moving along on horses and 500 head of cattle.
Wow.
And, you know, there wasn't much drama. Things ran pretty smoothly.
Remarkable.
And, you know, imagine feeding these amount of people three times a day. And
that's what I wanted to get to. Tell us what the typical day, if there was a typical day, what were those days like? How early in the day do you start, and when are you done?
Absolutely. So we started the morning earlier than what I'm used to. So we're talking before sunrise at 5 o'clock in the morning or so. And for us, you know, not only are we writing, we also have to do video and photography and document this. And so we get up and we slept in a tent just like everyone else. There was no Ramada Inn for us. We were there in tents embedded with the rest of the cattle drive folk. So got up, got out of our tent, get our camera ready, break down our tent, get out, have breakfast. Of course, everyone wants hot coffee, get ourselves some coffee. And then I find my wagon And I get on my wagon for the day. And so then I'm taking pictures and doing video from the wagon. And whereas Dad's on the back of the horse, you know, getting the images between the ears of the horse. And then we ride for however many miles that day. Stop for lunch.
Was it consistent? Would you do a certain number of miles, or was it really just depending on where you were at the time?
Depending on where we were at the time. And then, you know, the big factor for this one was the weather. So it was an El Nino year, which in Florida and South Florida brings a whole bunch of rain.
Yeah.
And it was 3 inches of rain over 4 days. And oh my goodness, Brian, trying to put a tent up when it's muddy and icky, and you have your camera gear and trying to keep that dry. That was an adventure in itself.
We needed a documentarian to be doing a documentary about the documentarians. So here's Nick on his first day. Not a good day.
Yeah. Well, one story was we came in late and set up our tents. We were so tired. And, of course, we have to unload our hard drives and make sure our batteries are charged for the next day. So it's like our day doesn't quite end when everybody else's does. And so we didn't have a campfire. By the time we were done, you lay down.
I'm dead.
You didn't have
gone.
To count
Bye.
Sheep that night, you know?
Wow.
So anyway, the next morning, it was kind of raining. I pulled my tent back, and there's a big, huge old cow patty right outside the tent. So I guess it was there when
morning.
I set the tent up. I don't remember.
Left me a little gift here. Those folks that are on this drive, are they connected to some of that history? Do they come from families that have been doing this for generations, or were they all sort of tourists?
It was a mix. You know, you had, like, you know, Doyle Connor, a long family connection, but we had some other ranching families that were connected that were there. Some of them were there that their families had been involved in the cattle industry and were able to come back. And then we had a blend of tourists or people who were riders that wanted to go along for the experience. You know, we have made really good friends that are, like I say, forever friends.
Yeah. I'm quoting you here, Nick, where you have said, one thing that excited me as a writer about the Great Florida Cattle Drive Project is that it tells the story of this hidden history. In looking at that history, did you make discoveries that were surprising to you?
Oh my goodness, Brian, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, every Floridian, you know, if you're born and raised in the state of Florida, you have Florida history in fourth grade, and that's great. I think that there should be more of it. But interesting things that I learned, one of them would be that the Seminoles were the caretakers of the cattle for about a 100-year period of time during the 1700s. I didn't know that. And you have Payne's Prairie and Micanopy. Payne and Micanopy were both Seminole chiefs. You know, and so right there in that Central Florida area, you know, I think probably not a lot of Floridians know that. They just they go down I-75 and pass by and
never really see it.
So you have that. Another interesting thing is that the industry with Cuba. And so this would have been after the Civil War was finished. You know, all of the southern states, the economy would have been destroyed.
Yeah.
And so in Florida, there would have been over about a 10-year period of time, is around 1865 to 1875, over 1.5 million cattle were shipped out of Florida ports bound for Cuba.
Wow.
And, of course, what did they pay with? Gold doubloons.
Oh.
And so cattle were literally worth their weight in gold. I didn't know that.
That was a long reach, brother, but you got there.
Yeah, I got there.
Sorry, I didn't have my rim shot ready for you on that one. That is fascinating. Folks, this is an ongoing conversation, I have to tell you, because we're not finished with these boys yet. We'll get them off their horse and have them come back in here at some point. Again, for your sake, let me tell you, the Great Florida Cattle Drive, Unbroken Circles, that's the name of the documentary. Original music score by Robert Hodling, who I believe is Grammy award-winning or nominated or something. Who was it that was involved in? Anyway, let me see here. I'm looking at my note. Or you tell me, Nick. Tell me about this guy.
Sure. So not J. Robert himself, but John McEwen from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band played banjo on the soundtrack.
There we go.
And the narrator is Baxter Black.
Wow. a host of very talented people who bring together their resources and their inspiration and their talent. Our own good friend Pete Winter, who you guys know very well through like the Jerry Thigpen Trio. He's one of the instrumentalists there with Jerry. It's available. There's a soundtrack that you can get on a CD. You've got the DVD that you can get your hands on, and a beautiful a compilation then, a sort of coffee table book by the same title helps you get in touch with how this whole thing played out, how this all came together. Wow. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the show today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brian.
What a pleasure. The Great Florida Cattle Drive. Again, this afternoon, 2 o'clock, at San Luis Mission. They are doing a special debut there, preview. You can go and watch the film. Or, like the rest of us, you'll be watching on WFSU this coming Thursday night, 9 o'clock, as it broadcasts around the state of Florida and maybe beyond, hopefully. So congratulations, gentlemen. Job well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, that's what we have for you at the moment. We're coming up to the top of the hour here. We'll have more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, so stay with me.
Truck and Hawk, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Hawk, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda within the hour here. Looking forward to that conversation. And let's see, who do we have in segment six on this occasion? Ah, Bill Wulsifer is going to be with us. Billy, as is his preferred reference, his name among his friends, is a prominent attorney, a well-established, well-respected attorney here in town. One of our contributors makes it possible for us to bring you even more insight because we have people like Bill Wulsifer as a contributor on a consistent basis, on a regular basis, bringing insight into matters, in his case, in matters of legal concern. So with all of the wranglings going on nationally, the presidency, the president himself finding not a whole lot of warm and fuzzy from certain sectors, and those who are trying to align themselves with him or who have been advocating on his behalf, finding a lot of discord from day to day, and it seems to have not at all taken a pause. You get up every morning wondering what the next controversial occurrence may be, what newsmakers, not just reporters, but the makers of the news are trying to make prominent in their what they find is important, what story is being launched that they think is significant, and then, God help us all, trying to find the truth. You know, what is the real story here? That becomes even more mystifying. At times, I think, because no matter where you're getting your news, whether online or in print or on the tube, man alive, how is that being filtered? Who's paying for that, right? And it seems as though there are so many competing interests at hand. The one observation that I will offer from my humble vantage point, and, you know, I mean, yeah, I was alive during the 60s, and I, you know, came of political age during the Reagan administration. I think it was the first president I ever voted for. You know, and I've been a taxpayer all these many years and raised four kids with my lovely wife. So, yeah, so, I mean, I'm just one of you, one of the gang here, just one of the common folks. But I'll say that in the contest that is afoot, I've not seen the kind of aggressive protagonist sort of position being taken from any side. I mean, regardless of your point of view, if you're a progressive liberal, if you're a conservative traditionalist, there's a great deal of angst in any case. And the means, the manner in which we engage one another is even more disturbing to me, I suppose, inasmuch as there's a kind of disrespect for the process and as if there's a kind of impatience with the normal deliberation that goes on whenever you're debating a given point. It's as if we've said, yeah, we just don't have time for that anymore, and so we're going to plow through and we'll use whatever mechanism is at our disposal to advance our point. And I suppose when I think of that, I feel sad, because I think that ultimately, no matter which side wins, we all lose. How is that possible? Well, because I think that we've lost then something that is greater than the achievement of a given end. Okay, so whatever your orientation may be, my friend, politically speaking, if you find yourself, campaigning for, pro-choice issues or governmental restraint, or if you find yourself campaigning for the rights of the underprivileged, if you are interested in establishing open borders or opening up our borders, if you favor a more globalist versus nationalist perspective, okay, you pick one, right? Well, let's say that that your side wins, but you win at what cost? If you win in a zero-sum fashion, then I think we all lose. And by that I mean, it's not enough for me to have gained. I have to see you lose in the process. I have to see your side put down. You know, my dad used to say to me, you always have to flip it around. You may have the upper hand at the moment. Put yourself in that other person's position. If they have the minority position at the moment, what would it be like for you if you were in that minority position? Meaning that you don't have the sway, you don't have the power to drive your point forward. What would that be like for you? So in that, he was always trying to teach me how to make sure that it's a process that's fair to all concerned, and that the process, and Michelle Ray Winkle Vasalinda is going to talk about process today, is more important than the substance itself. That's hard for us to accept when we feel as passionately, as strongly, emotionally as we do about a given topic. If it's protecting wetlands, if it's about downsizing government, I mean, whatever the topic is, the topic o' day, and you're vehement about that, it's easy to get to the point where you're just working your own agenda here. You're working your own strategy. And maybe that includes a kind of violent rejection of your opposers. Maybe that includes a campaign that amounts to much as smear tactics. So I'm of the school that says that the end can never justify any given means. Right? That in fact, the means the manner in which we proceed is really what's important, because that is what preserves the way that we conduct business. And that's why senators are prohibited from being openly, vehemently critical of one another. That's why you don't see our legislators ending up in fist fights in Senate chambers or House chambers. Because we have agreed upon this, that we will conduct business in a manner that not only preserves and respects the other person, but it preserves and respects that process. So I encourage you to think in those terms today as we look forward to all that's going on in our own community, discussions of various kinds. And as we apply ourselves, let's look for those opportunities for us to connect, even with the people who we disagree with, perhaps, most strongly. That is my commentary for you this morning. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. It is my pleasure to be your host on this journey as we continue to ask the question, what is Tallahassee? If you'd like to find out more about us, you can go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. If you have a topic or a guest, email me, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In our segment six today, we have the wonderfully astute, well-spoken, prominent attorney, our good friend Bill Wulsifer. How are you, Bill?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing just fine. Thank you for
and,
that.
And I know that it's important for those of you who don't know Mr. Wulsifer that he goes by many names, actually. So if you're addressing him in a court of law, it might be William.
It would be William.
Yeah. Or his mom. some of his colleagues and close friends know him as Billy. I'm particularly fond of Billy Wulsifer.
Good.
It has a good ring to it. But for the sake of this conversation, I think Bill is good, too. What's really important is that as one of our ongoing contributors, Bill has brought us up to date on a lot of different topics, all of which have in common concerns that you and I share when it comes to legal matters. And Bill, I know that your particular area of practice is pretty diverse, actually, but one of those strong suits has been collections.
Yes, debt collection, commercial debt collection.
Yep. And another part of this for you, maybe a little bit more personal too, is this whole business of Bitcoin. Is that right?
That is right. I accept Bitcoin. As part of my law practice accepts Bitcoin. It has for, I guess, about 2 years, maybe longer. I started collecting Bitcoin and receiving Bitcoin when I ran for Attorney General. We accepted Bitcoin contributions.
It's an interesting concept, and a lot of people are still unfamiliar with it. So I don't know if you wanted to speak to that briefly enough.
Well, the cryptocurrency is the future of currency. There's no doubt about it. You can exchange money through countries in a matter of seconds without going through Western Union or a bank or MoneyGram and the likes of that. Sometimes for no fee at all, if you're within your network, and sometimes for a small fee. It's instant, it's safe, It's just not much different than using a credit card. It's the same concept.
I see.
And for that reason, there's a lot of cryptocurrency businesses evolving. So Bitcoin, of course, is the largest and most well-known. But just like at one time there was American Express, then came Visa, then came MasterCard and Diners Club. It's just different mechanisms.
I see. So it's the future from your point of view. And in that future, would this fly in the face of national currencies? Would it replace national currencies, do you think? Or could it?
Well, it already is.
I see.
Except at some point your cryptocurrency is reduced to your dollar or your yen. Mm. So with that is the evolution of all these exchange businesses.
Ah.
So you could pretty much, and I think we talked about this before, get through life on cryptocurrency alone right now.
Interesting.
Bitcoin hit 1,077 yesterday. And that's high. Mm. It 18 months ago, it was around 200. It dropped back down today to mid-900s per coin.
Wow.
Because of some restrictions in China, like anti-money laundering.
Mm.
Two major companies have put a one-month restriction on withdrawal, which is a smart corrective action, but that probably drove down the run that started yesterday.
So in addition to your interests with these sorts of things, you have an equally interesting passion for these a digital technology that you call what? Clear Voter.
And Clear Voter is...
You're just a digital sort of guy.
Well, that's where we're at. Clear Voter is one thing, but it also has a cryptocurrency base for it. So the intent, board of directors haven't finalized it, but the intent will probably be when it ultimately launches to only accept cryptocurrency for its fees, for its products, for its services, for its advertising.
I see.
Because there's two kind of a cryptocurrency investments. One is the actual investment for its inherent rising value, if it rises.
Yeah.
And the other for people who call themselves adapters who want to create a currency that's not a fiat currency, that's not a government-driven currency, but a currency by the people, and a currency that crosses all borders. And they just want to adopt it and adapt it. So Clear Voter plans to be part of that movement.
And itself is an app that will provide the user with what?
A forum, a social media forum where they can discuss politics and legislation only, and then meet. It's very local. The more local, the better. And of course, local is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an issue like backyard chickens, you would find the people in your neighborhood who have that same zoning restriction to address that topic. And it has a legislative feed, state and federal. So you'll also see, if you're not aware of something, you just type in a search term and find out what legislation's coming down the pike. And then there's your group to discuss this with, and you have a map. So you can also search by map what's going on within this region. But it's not like Facebook. You can't post pictures of your cats and a lot of people are leaving Facebook because the political discussion is really getting under their collar. So this is a place where it's anticipated and expected. And
so it fits the environment better to have that kind of conversation, and knowing that you're going to see or hear a lot of competing points of view on any given topic, right?
Absolutely.
Including chickens.
And okay. It's a nonpartisan media.
Okay.
It's a nonpartisan platform. But GovTech right now is the fastest growing area of technology for investment, for use, for the future. This is
where it's at.
Where it's at. Yeah. It's kind of like the same thing with Bitcoin. It's trying to reach the people that are in the non-banked regions where there are no banks, where they can't participate in commerce.
Okay. So, and I know that Clear Voter is close to being released. It's in a sort of beta status at this point.
It is. It's good, but it's not scalable for the anticipated traffic.
Okay.
So it's coming.
Okay.
Clearvoter.com, you can get a look of what's to come.
Okay. Make note of that, folks. Clearvoter.com, this highly anticipated app that'll provide us with opportunity to be engaged in discussions of a political nature across a variety of topics, and I would imagine, an unlimited number of topics, depending on what is most important to the folks that are participating.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't find your topic, you just create your topic, and people will find you. The fire will be seen.
See, and I've always wanted to have chickens in my backyard, and I lived in a neighborhood where that was prohibited. Well, thankfully, my initiative was passed, and they have removed the chicken restriction from my homeowners association. Isn't that good news?
That is good. There's a trend in that direction.
Now I just have to find some chickens, and I should be in good shape. Okay, we've got Bill Wolsifer with us here. What a great contribution this man makes to this community and to our understanding on a variety of topics. Today's conversation about things digital in nature. Bill Wolsifer, our guest, thanks for being with me.
Thank you, Brian.
We'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks. Any day, any time, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maid's this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are again with Michelle Ray Winkleblass. Linda, how are you?
I'm doing great. I had a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Did you?
I did. My husband is the best.
Good old Michael.
He is. He made chocolate soup that
You're
was
kidding.
To die for. No.
Chocolate soup.
Chocolate soup. It was wonderful. It's what you look into a cup of cocoa and you say, oh, I wish this was chocolate soup because it was thick and spicy and wonderful. And then he red roses, the whole deal, a little present.
Wow. That was so great. You're just floating. You're like happy and good.
And then this weather today is it's good.
We're
stuff.
Just having a great time. Yeah. Well, and in regard to those things that have been of late troubling to many of us, I thought it would be.
Now you have to give a cloud. You have to make a cloud. But that's all right. It's okay.
I'm going to bring you down
It's all right. We can handle it.
But only because I think that it's worthwhile that we help one another, all of us, think through some of the rather confusing circumstances. There's a whole lot of heat, it seems to me, not a whole lot of light.
Yeah.
We're all a bit puzzled as to what is really the truth. And I think, too, that there's a lot of folks that are sort of just throwing up their hands and saying, I really just don't care about any of that.
That's in some ways, that's a danger, and in some
that
ways,
that's
a good thing. It can be, because then it starts to cool things down a mite. But what I don't want to see, if I can be any help in that, is for people not to be engaged. Mm-hmm. Because I think once you start disengaging from this wonderful process that we have in this country of governing, self-governing, really, I think then we have a problem. But the heat needs to be brought down a little bit.
And in that regard, there were a couple of key points that I wanted to bring to your attention to get your input on this. When I look at, and you talk about this wonderful process, it is a process that was laid out in our foundation. This checks and balances, these branches of government.
Oh, God bless the founding fathers.
I mean.
And mothers. And, there were mothers, too.
And the fact that the machine itself, the manner in which administrative or the executive branch, the legislative, and the judicial are there in such a manner that a process is initiated when a question of law is at stake, when a question of policy is at stake, when a question of the distribution of
power. Yeah. Yes.
So here the president steps up and says, this is what we need to do. The court steps up and says, hang on, let's take a look at this. And the pushback then, some are arguing, that is an overreach. It's beyond them simply interpreting whether this is, we'll say, constitutional. What's your take?
It's a constant chess game in a way, and I don't mean to put it to denigrate it as a game, but chess is a movement of power on a board. Mm-hmm. And I just say that to say this, it's not over. There are constant moves going on. And so when the president says he issues an executive order, the court, or a court, actually a circuit court, Ninth Circuit, says something to halt that and to halt his ban, well, then he's got another move he can play. He's got a myriad of them.
Well,
so this process isn't over, but it plays out, and somehow I think it pulls the onions back, the layers of the onion, to get to the truth or a truth or a place where we ought to be as a nation.
And the part that I was keyed in on, frankly, was less about the substance of this and the merits of the case,
right,
or whether there was case, whether the states had a case, Washington in this case, but rather is the notion that the judicial branch, that this judge can apply an interpretation of the original intent.
And see,
does it matter what the president intended to do?
Right.
This is the order. Judge it on its own merits.
Right. I get, and I'm with you on the policy with that.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the process overall, I just want to take a moment here and just say it gives me comfort, even joy, to know that this process is working out.
Yeah.
And working its magic, because it's nothing less in some ways than a miracle how this country was was put together.
We're not a monarchy.
No, and here's, I could just say, when everyone was protesting in the streets and getting so hot and saying, you know, awful things about the president and the conservative movement and all that sort of thing that I'm not even going to bother to repeat here. What I think people were forgetting was where we live, what we have as a government, and who we are. We are not Nazi Germany. We are not that place in time or history. Mm. We have our own culture, our own government, our own heritage of adherence to the rule of law. And even though I may not agree with the Ninth Circuit, I may not agree with some of the folks that are stepping in front of what the president wants to do, I agree with the process.
Yeah.
And I am so pleased that it's working out, and I just, you know, that it's working its way through.
I said to one person, if you are a civics teacher in high school, you're having a blast.
You are having a blast.
Because you've got all of your students sitting there, and you're able to say, now see, boys and girls, this is how American government works.
And that's if they can bring themselves back from having a heated
topic.
Opinion about the policy, because that's difficult.
And
it is difficult.
That's an interesting transition here now to another part of this discussion, which, as I think about it, may have a lot to do with this favorite topic of yours and mine, this business of
resiliency. Yeah.
When communities, we'll say, when a nation is most resilient, is it when that kind of freedom of discussion is at hand? That kind of well-intended and well-designed process, as you call it, is in play when everybody gets their piece. Everybody gets to have their say. And over the course of time, the good ideas remain.
I don't think it's an accident that this nation is the strongest on the face of the earth. I don't think that it's an accident that this nation is one of the most creative on the face of the earth in history or now. And I am indeed an American exceptionalist, and I have no apology for it. But I don't think it's an accident that the First Amendment that cherish the marketplace of ideas and the ability to talk about, to write about, to assemble, to talk about different things and in your own creative way. I don't think it's any accident that the founders of this country thought that there was always going to be conflict amongst peoples. Mm-hmm. People were going to always have different ideas that were going to come in direct conflict with one another. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a way, a process, mm-hmm. an orderly, peaceful process to figure it out so that we can go on and continue to create, to produce, to work, to raise families, to play, as the governor would say, to live, work, and play. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what, when they put this process together, when they put this form of government together, that's what they envisioned. It wasn't that people were going to be peaceful and unified mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. Whether you have a common heritage of being an American or loving freedom or whatever it is, but it's important. It's important for us to have a process to be tolerant with one another. And tolerance is tough. It's a tough business, but it makes us resilient.
In fact, your last comment there reminds me of the kinds of things that Richard Florida has said about the creative class, and those communities that are flourishing are those that are inclusive, right?
Yes.
And they bring to the community at hand people from all kinds of backgrounds and perspectives, and they share in that in a manner that yields the best possible outcome, and not in any one moment, but in every moment going forward. Folks, we're talking with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda here. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda. So when you think about government at its best, Michelle, when are we giving the people the best government?
I think when we all realize that there is a process, that we have to respect the process, and that it's okay for people to have wildly divergent views, but that if you trust the fact that there is a process, that this government has been going on for over 200 years, that it is resilient to adversity, that we will persevere. We will, as a nation, come through this, and let everybody will, I think, be stronger for it.
The most painful part of that, I think, for a lot of people, I mean, for all of us, is when we hear things being said that we find personally offensive.
Yes.
And maybe it's of a particular political point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a personal slur.
Maybe.
We talked earlier about Bernstein.
Yeah, Jacob Bernstein.
You know, and his comments about the First Lady, and referred to her in an unflattering way.
Just floored me, yeah.
And, you know, the person hearing this actually took it up on her Twitter account.
Yeah.
And pretty much called him out for that.
Yeah, as she should.
It's an offensive situation. Well, you know, flip that around, and here comes Richard Spencer, and he gets punched in the face. And the articles that I've come across that have been sort of supportive of that idea.
Of punching him in the face.
Yeah, sort of like, it's about time. have also said this guy or anybody like that has no business being given any kind of national audience. There's no reason in the world why CNN should have this guy or any of the other news bureaus so that, in fact, the notion there is let's suppress this. Let's keep this out of the conversation.
Well, right? First of all, if you keep things out of the conversation, they fester. And I think that, I don't know where I read it with the founders, but you know that you have to have kind of a letting off of steam because these thoughts are not going to go away. Mm. And people thinking these thoughts are not going to go away. But tolerance is a tough business. And I think that to tolerate what he has to say, you don't have to listen to it, but you don't need to punch him in the face. Mm. That's against the rule of law. Mm. The fact that someone punches, that it's okay and that it's cheered, that someone gets punched in the face, that then gets to a point of whoever's in power then gets to say what they want to say. Yeah. That's inappropriate.
And what I find remarkable is the rationale, how those within that particular way of thinking are justifying violence, whether it's personal assault or property destruction of property, whatever, that the rule, the ends justifies the means. And yet, that's the kind of villainy that we associate it with right-wing, racist, I mean, the KKK.
Right.
Has that same sort of mantra that says, whatever it takes, we are going to win.
Right.
At all costs.
Or the thugs in Nazi Germany. Yeah. That, I mean, so you have to be able to tolerate speech and thought. Whatever it is, you don't have to listen to it if you don't want to, but you do not have the right to punch someone in the face. Yeah. Because that then breeds chaos. And then if you want a chaotic country, I suggest go someplace else because I'd like to have this one stay relatively.
That,
you know,
an idea that is suppressed festers. What do you mean?
Well, I think that it goes underground. I mean, so all right. So Spencer is saying his piece, and you get to hear him or tune him out, whatever you want to do. But he's allowed to say his piece without getting punched. Once he gets punched, he can, and if he is not allowed to speak, he goes underground. Yeah. And then,
we don't know what he's doing.
Right. Yeah.
But then those who would hold up their argument would say, that's fine. We don't want to know what he's doing, and we don't want to give that kind of thinking any exposure whatsoever.
Until he pops up with a whole group of folk that then have been festering with him, and they pop up someplace else, and then they take over the show, and then they don't want to listen to the more liberal and progressive and humanistic way of thinking. And so I think that's where the founders said there are going to be people of very divergent views, not just whether we should have Enterprise Florida or not Enterprise Florida, but really some tough, real conflict of thought. And the only way that you can have a stable, peaceful situation without people then trying to continually overthrow each other and kill each other is by allowing the process to work. You know, and I have a quote on my Twitter, and it's at Rhett Michelle is my Twitter feed. And it's by General Patton, George S. Patton, and it says, if everyone's thinking alike, then someone isn't thinking. Now, that's not to defend any of these thoughts that I don't agree with. What it is to say is that once you start shutting off one person, then how do you determine where it gets too close to, you know, what you're thinking and what you're not thinking? Where do you start hacking that off?
Right. So you're asking who gets to decide who's right and who's wrong.
Right. Yeah. And as long as it's speech and it's not inciting violence and it's not harming anyone, defaming or disparaging, and we have those laws on the books, that's also a rule of law. Yeah. As long as it's political thought, yeah, or that kind of thing, philosophical thought, mm-hmm, then I think we need to let it fly, and no one has the right to punch somebody else in the face. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just suspect that in regard to these kinds of conversations, like what we're doing right now, these are going on all over the country, right?
And that's healthy. And maybe all over the actually world. That's healthy and very good. Yeah. What's not good is if we start stultifying thought and writing and expression to meet a certain mold. Then we're not getting at any kind of truth. And I sent you Orson Welles, an essay that, yes, Orson Welles had written, I think, right, in 1943,
yes,
on nationalism. And when he describes nationalism, he defines it not as just a geography or a political place, but also as a thought process, and I'm wondering if this whole idea of liberalism and globalism has gotten nationalistic, where it really, yeah, it just sort of is takes over, and you have to have loyalty at all cost to that, and it really becomes dangerous in that way. Mm.
Folks, this is not a conversation that has a period in any way, shape, or form at the end of it, because it's a discussion that we're going to continue and have been engaged in for some time here with Michelle, our able, stalwart friend when it comes to all things societal and governmental. Michelle, thank you for being
thank
with
you
us
for having
again.
Me. I appreciate it.
We'll continue next week. This is a great opportunity for you and I to have these kinds of conversations, and I appreciate you being with me this morning. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny, and I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me. Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot, tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.